Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Football Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hope you guys are doing great. I know Dane and I are. Celebrated my son's B-Day yesterday. It's good times.
Nice!
Might have him as a special guest a little bit later. Ready for school. Get some picks out of him. See if he can do any better than we do on a week-to-week
basis. I actually do a segment like that every year. I'll talk to you about it later.
Yeah. So, Saints-Cowboys, not what we expected. Certainly not what I expected. A lot of different ways to go on this one, but Cowboys pick up the big win, 13-10 over the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Cowboys were a 3-5 team. People calling for Jason Garrett's head, and they were staring down the barrel of 4 games in 18 days. We mentioned it many times. Saints also 4 games in 18 days. Only one team went undefeated there, and shockingly, it was the Dallas Cowboys. They played great defensively last night. I thought the tone was set early. Saints never really got in a rhythm. Drew Brees never really got in his typical rhythm. They broke all kinds of records for first shutout half in 72 games. They didn't pick up any yardage. Drew Brees finishes with 127 yards. Alvin Kamara couldn't get going. And Dallas's defense looked like one of the best defenses in the league last night. I think that's the long and the short of it, Dane.
I think you're right. Their cornerbacks were playing uptight, breaking up passes. I think the other key, and Aikman said it on the broadcast, is not only did they get pressure, but they get pressure up the middle in Drew Brees' face. And when you're 4 foot nothing, it's hard to deal with that, you know? And I think that is the formula. Now, let's not get it twisted, okay? People are going to be chicken little. The sky is falling with the Saints. They are still 10-2. If you ask me in a vacuum, would it be such a horrible blow for them to lose on the road to a team that was in first place in their division? I'd say no. And it still is kind of all in front of them. But I do think this reinforces the point that in this day and age in the NFL, with these high-powered offenses, the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, you know, to a lesser extent, the Steelers, the Patriots, and others, the way to beat them, when the rules are in favor of offense, the way to beat these teams is to put pressure on the quarterback. That is why I believe that Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears are live against whoever they face. That's why I've been such a Chargers advocate this season, because Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa can flip the playoffs on their ear if they get to Patty Mahomes, if they get to Tom Brady. J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney could flip the playoffs on their ear if they do something like that. So can Danny Trevathan, you know what I mean, if he gets to Jared Goff in that kind kind of way. In the NFL this day and age, that is going to be the only way to beat one of these high-octane offenses and keep them like we saw last night, yeah. The Saints, with only 10 points.
I think the most important thing, though, is when you're able to put pressure on without blitzing. So if you can bring four and consistently bring pressure. We saw Dallas was able to do that last night. Clearly, they bring pressure at times, but their defensive line is really able to force a lot of pressure on the quarterback. We do see this with other teams as well. The Rams have in the last couple of years have been able to do that as well, mainly because of Aaron Donald, but he's not the only one there.
Think about the Eagles and their defensive line rotation last year, having eight fresh guys. Think about the Giants and how they ended the undefeated Patriots season. It was that NASCAR pass rush that they had, you know? And so that's the secret, if you can get it done.
Yeah, so the Saints look, there was way too many people, and I always try to refrain from doing this, but there was way too many people out there being like, well, the Rams don't look like they're going to lose. The Saints don't look like they're going to lose. Like, we don't have a whole bunch of 15 and 14-win teams every year. Like, people just lose. Like, they lose games that are typically on the road, to your point.
That's what I was saying.
Teams that are capable. So the Saints, if they don't lose the rest of the way, would be amazing. And if they lose one more game, they'd still be a pretty great team. They're at Tampa 9 days from now. Then they're at Carolina. Then they got the Steelers and then the Panthers again. So honestly, that ain't easy.
They'll
probably
going
lose
two
a couple.
There.
That's right. I think they could lose a couple, and people will be like, "Wow, the Saints falter down the stretch, going 2-3."
No,
they're
12 and four and got a bye is what they'd be.
Right.
You know?
But people will be telling the story like, "Well, remember when they were 10-1 and they slumped to a 13-3 finish?" Like, all right, yeah,
if that gets me more value on the futures odds. I'll take it.
Yeah, right. That's actually a good point. You should probably be hammering the Saints.
I hope
for the
Saints
to lose another game and then hammer it. And then I'm looking at the NFL Network as we're here and as we're looking at this show.
I used to love take LeBron James and the Cavs series price after the Cavs lose game one. You know what I mean? Same kind of thing.
Yeah, on the flip side of things, I'm looking at the NFL Network right now, and the headline on the bottom is, "Are the Cowboys legitimate Super Bowl contenders?" And, you know, that's part of your Monday morning quarterbacking, in this case Friday morning quarterbacking, as they do. Well, they're totally not what we thought they were when they were 3-5. I think there's still some of that team, and I think they did a really good job. They deserve all the credit. People wanted Jason Garrett fired playing so badly in the second half against the Titans, not going on fourth down in big instances and playing way too conservatively. And now they beat – after they lost to the Titans and were 3-5 and they were going to Philly, people were like, that's going to be the end of the season. They're going to lose in Philly, and they'll be 3-6, and they'll be done. They win that game. Then they beat the Falcons, who are obviously not having a great season. They beat Washington after Alex Smith has, you know, parted ways for the season. And then New Orleans last night. So some tough games in there. It wasn't murderer's row leading up to it, but there were some tough games in there. And they played some, I think, more to their credit. I could go either way on this. They won four pretty tight games. They won a touchdown game in Philly. They won a field goal game against Atlanta. They win an 8-point game on Thanksgiving Day, which it was a little bit more comfortable than 8, but still, 8-point game, and Washington was trying to get back into it. And then last night, the field goal game with a huge interception at the end. It looked like a miscommunication between Kamara and Breeze, but it was also, as Aikman rightly pointed out, due to the pressure that was coming at him. And he just tried to get rid of it, and I just don't think he and Kamara are on the same page there, but a really nice play on the interception. So they win four tight games. They're playing obviously good D. Sean Lee's not even out there last night. Leighton Vander Esch looks like he was the pick of one of the best picks in the whole draft because he's playing
everyone
his tail
gave
off.
Him, yep. And we Jaylen didn't say Smith. That at draft night. Remember, we wanted that to maybe be the Lamar Jackson or something else, right? A wide
Calvin
out.
Ridley.
Yeah, it was Calvin Ridley. I mean, we were sitting together with Emery Hunt and Corey Parson, and Corey, the fantasy executive, was pissed off. But now, I got to tell you,
Emery
this linebacking
hated
core.
Pick.
Yep, but this linebacking core looks good. If they ever got Sean Lee back, you know, this would be a very interesting linebacking core.
So that's what it looks like the rest of the way for the Cowboys would be the Eagles, who they have at home in 9 days. Then we have at the Colts, tough game.
That's a tough
then they
one.
Host Tampa. It's a walkover. Yeah. And then they come to New York on December 30th, which, regardless of what you think of the Giants, that'll be a fist fight, that game.
Even if it's Kyle Laletta under center? Even if it's Kyle Laletta under center?
I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're going to love that. But those Giants-Cowboys
games
have always historically been pretty tight. So, there we go. I had the box score in front of me just to go over the stats. So, Drew Brees, 18 of 28, 127, one touchdown, one pick. He got you 10 points. Alvin Kamara, 11 carries for 36 yards. He did catch 8 passes.
Yeah, he got
another
15
in PPR. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty good considering he did not have a good night at all. I mean, he's getting 4 yards per touch, less than 4 yards per touch basically last night.
8 catches, that helped, yeah.
Mike Thomas, 5 for 40, no scores. I mean, that was a huge bummer. Mark Ingram, who Jane and I played in one of our leagues last night,
sure
7
did.
Carries, 27 yards. He caught 2 passes for 1 yard. They were all over Ingram last night. And the one touchdown went to Keith Kirkwood yet again. And
helping
a play,
nobody.
Which I would love to hear the explanation there.
What was the route that was supposed to be run? Because there's no way him and Traquan Smith should have been right there.
Yeah. I need an explanation on 2 plays. And forgive me for falling asleep, but it was a long day yesterday and did not get to watch too much in terms of postgame. So, I mean, what happened on the interception and what happened on the touchdown are 2 questions that I would love to have answered, because it sounds like those receivers definitely were not supposed to be in the same spot. And maybe it was Brees' fault on the interception. Maybe Kamara was supposed to come inside as opposed to go outside. But we'll see on that. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, Dak Prescott, it's exactly what you want him doing. 24 of 28, 248, 1 score. He runs 5 times for 22 yards. He had the 115-yard run.
There was a 3rd and 10 where he got 11. That was a huge play in that drive. You know, the Saints almost got off the field and would have had good field position with about 4 minutes left. And I was like, wow. I put a star in my book on that one. I was like, that's Dak making a play.
That was the big one. Yeah, no doubt about it. So if they can get Dak playing like that every game and the defense playing like that, they're going to win some games. The problem is some of those games will be low scoring and tight, so you leave yourself to chance. You know, I think many of us, including me, thought, you know, I over the years, there's two. It's like I'm conflicted when I think about it, because what happened with the Steelers last week against the Jaguars 2 weeks ago, week 11, whatever it was, for a team to play poorly like that for like 55 minutes and then turn it on and win the game. I know people think it happens a lot. It really doesn't. When a team is playing a bad game, they usually just play a bad game and lose.
Right.
So I really should have thought that last night, but I kept thinking, man, if Brees gets a ball back, they're in trouble.
I thought
they were in trouble.
The whole game, I thought it was like, with a one possession game, I was like, you can't give them cracks at it. Even the end, with like a minute left, I was like, boy.
No, that's exactly what I thought. And then he threw the interception.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, my God, if they give him the ball here and he goes down and scores, people are really going to call for Garrett's head on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had dominated last night. Anyway, Dak played great. It's never going to be flashy. He shouldn't be flashy for them to win. If he's flashy, it should happen a couple of times a year. They are building a team, which, because of Zeke, this is the way they're going to win. It's almost like how the Jaguars want to be. So Zeke Elliott goes 23 for 76. The 6 catches for 60 yards, they talked about it a little bit last night on the broadcast. I think it's important to note that people had this weird assumption that Zeke couldn't be good in the passing game, and he's proven that to be incorrect. Now, it may have been out of necessity that they've had to use him more, but Zeke is just fine in the passing game.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I remember saying things like, I think I even said 2 weeks ago to you, like, if you're not named Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott, the game is passing you by as a running back. Well, and I was saying, like, well, because Melvin Gordon even catches balls and stuff like that. But I'd be remiss. You know, Ezekiel Elliott does as well. So I think that is a very good point. Blewett, the refs had a bad night, And,
yeah, they did.
And another thing that I would say here,
that wasn't pass interference.
I hear you, but like, you know, they missed the helmet to helmet.
I know.
And the other thing they missed, honestly, they missed the spot on the Cole Beasley third down conversion also, yes, that I think was really important. And the other point I was going to make here, Sean Payton used both of his challenges very early on in the game for things that would have been like a 10-yard difference maybe, like the Michael
Thomas catch
and others.
He needed it on the Beasley one.
Yep.
That was a big
because that would have, like, they would have had to punt. And that was still when there was like 4 or 5 minutes left. They went down and ultimately turned the ball over on that drive. But they could have got off the field there, and that would have been an obvious overturn. So a little bit of mismanaging the challenges, in my opinion. And the refs had a bad night also. Those are, you know, two other points I wanted to make from this game.
I didn't mind him on the challenge on the Michael Thomas fumble recovery when Dan Arnold got crushed and yeah, fumbled it. I didn't mind him using the challenge there. I thought because they were struggling, he was going to get positioned down deep and that they would score, and ran a fourth down play to Kamara that didn't work. I know Terry Bradshaw is old school and he wanted to go for the field goal there. I didn't mind them going for
I didn't mind it either, because then you pin them back on the two, whatever.
I don't think the Saints aren't so fragile that if they went into halftime shut out that they didn't think they could come back. They lost the game by 3 points ultimately and had the ball. You wouldn't expect Breeze to throw an interception there, and it's just the way it goes. So I actually have a question. So I'll keep on going through this box score. So Zeke has a really good night. Yep. I have Zeke and Drew Breeze on a team, so I left that being like, you know, not battered and bruised.
It's a wash.
Yeah, it's sort of a wash. Bad game, good game. So I think I'm back to where I started.
I got 22 out of Zeke in a league that I really need a win this week to get in the playoffs. So good start for me.
I have him in our league that we share together. So, GST. So I got him off to a good start and Breeze off to a bad start. So
on this
my backup
team, I
the rest
Zeke.
Of the way, by the way, is now Josh Rosen is my backup quarterback.
Oof.
The only guy I had there in case something happened to Breeze. Right. But I'll be playing Breeze the rest of the way anyway. Go ahead.
I'm in a win and get in kind of matchup in another league, and I have Ezekiel Elliott, and I was facing Michael Thomas and Mark Ingram.
Yeah. So that's a good start for you. Mike Thomas.
But it's just the start.
Did not come up big. So Michael Gallup, 5 for 76. Amari Cooper, 8 for 75. Good nights out of both of those guys. Nobody else did anything on either team. Dan Arnold, Cole Beasley, a couple of catches each, nothing there. So I got a question for you on Michael Gallup.
Hmm.
By the way, if the one really bad play Dak made was missing Michael Gallup for what?
Oh, yeah, down the right sideline.
He just, like Aikman said.
And Eli Apple, oh, my goodness. Were they not attacking Eli Apple left and right?
He
bit on that double move. A lot of penalties on him.
Yeah. So would you pick up Michael Gallup for any of the following? I can cut any of these guys. Frank Gore, Elijah McGuire, Jalen Samuels, which I'm not doing because I have James Conner, Jamal Williams, Cordero Patterson, Seth Roberts, Tyrell Williams.
Yes, I would for Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, so,
remember,
too.
Rex Burkhead coming back. Like, Cordero Patterson was only a thing when there was no Sony Michel and stuff like that. Sony Michel is back. Rex Burkhead is back. Yes, I would cut Cordero Patterson for him. Yes.
Oh, you know what? I just realized I will not be able to get Gallup now, right?
Correct, because he's played already this week.
Yes,
that is the way it works, Blewett. But absolutely.
No, but yeah, I'm planning for the weeks ahead, and the transactions shut off Sunday. And he
you
was
can't
the
put
guy.
A claim in?
I don't
No, because it would run.
It'll run,
it would run
next
the following.
Wednesday.
Right. That's probably true. You can no longer get it. You can't get Kirkwood either, though.
So I just realized that now. I had it in my queue, but I ran it because I ran him behind the Josh Rosen pickup because I thought the backup QB would be more important. So I got to look for somebody else. But Gallup was the guy I wanted the rest of the way. He will not be owned in that league the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And he could be a nice guy to have on your bench in case something happens to him. I don't know. AJ Green. Talk about him. I heard a little bit about the inside injuries after he came back. So we'll come back. We're going to talk some highlight games. Dana, I'll get on it on a Football Friday. It's Mike and Dane, FST. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day.
all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Football Friday on FST. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on TuneIn, on iHeart, on Terrestrial Radio. We appreciate it. Chris Pavona producing today. Get me fired up with a little Foo Fighters. Appreciate that, as always. That's right. Love it. It's not Football Friday. It's Foo Friday. I think he may have just started a thing. I like it.
Hashtag Foo Fridays.
So thanks for checking in with us this morning. Recapping last night's game, obviously we got a lot on the docket. Dane, you were talking with Virginia from Inside Injuries. I heard it in the last hour. What was the one? Excuse me.
So
I know AJ Green was an important thing, but I was surprised to hear her be. Look, a lot of the times when I listen to Inside Injuries, I come away feeling pretty horrible.
They're very conservative.
But the A.J. Green thing actually had me a little juiced, where she said, it's not optimal, but we actually think he'll play pretty well this weekend.
Yeah, they did say that. I will say that both Dr. A and Virginia were our Georgia Bulldog alum. So that's one thing. They may feel about A.J. Green the same way you feel about the Titans this year. But here's my thing.
Or Matt
that
Ryan.
May be what's that?
Or Matt, or Ryan, Matt Ryan, to borrow the, sure. The alumnus thing.
I hit on my BC over, by the way. But that's not, but I digress.
You're damn lucky you did, buddy, because they went on a 3-game slide to end the year.
And listen, as a Syracuse fan, I know. I saw that as a Syracuse fan. But in any event, he may come back, but I'm still not excited about him anyway, because Jeff Driskel is the quarterback, and they're playing a hot team with a good defense. And I know we got to talk about that defense a little bit later on as well. But yeah, he may come back, but I'm not excited about it. If he's active, I have to start him in season long, but I certainly don't want him in DFS or anything like that. So I think like how you have to handle AJ Green is pretty clear. If he's active, you start him in season long, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you and I have gone over this a few times. The league in which I have AJ Green, it's totally fallen apart. So
I have
to start him. Otherwise, it's Seth Roberts' time, and I ain't doing that. So,
sure.
So
I thought was the most important one of the we talked with Virginia. The one that I thought was really interesting was Kerryon Johnson, because she then said that he's dealing with this multi-week thing. He's likely, you know, this is already week 13. He might return in week 14 or 15. But then she also noted that like in his first week back, he probably won't perform at like peak level, you know, and I made this point with George Kurtz afterwards. We talk about this in baseball all the time, like when a starter's coming off the DL, do you put him in your lineup right away? But here's the thing, this guy's an RB2, and you're going to be in the playoffs in a winner-go-home scenario, and she was kind of like hedging her bet on how productive Kerryon Johnson might be in his first game back. I think that creates interesting, decisions for Kerryon Johnson owners.
Yeah.
In week 14, let's say in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Do you just ride those guys back out right away?
I think you're going to have to utilize every piece of information available, from Inside Injuries to what the coaches are saying, to get a sense of whether or not the snap count will be there. Otherwise, you're going to run into what Dalvin Cook owners ran into about 6 weeks ago. So I can't give a blanket answer to that.
Relative to your options and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I would be really concerned about it. Like, I look, over the course of the year, you and I often say, I got to see something from the guy before I put him out there. But when it's desperation time,
you don't have that luxury in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's do or die, and you're like, well, I could play Kerryon Johnson or Nyheim
or
Hines.
Or Peyton Barber.
Mack back in the mix. Maybe Nyheim Hines catches a few passes. Like, that's what you're going to be thinking of. So, you know, and here, like, I, if that were my team, I'd probably be like, well, do I play Kerryon Johnson or Elijah McGuire? You don't see a lot of – you don't expect a lot of upside out of Elijah McGuire, but he'll probably play a full game. He could get you double-digit points. Does Kerryon Johnson go out there, carry the ball a couple of times and be like, I'm toast. I'm, you know, yep. Two carries, exactly. 11 yards. See you later. So,
exactly. That's the
so
risk.
That's
and that's similar risk with our guy, Rob Gronkowski, which is very interesting. I mean,
I heard you ask about that. Yeah. So what did you say?
She said, I mean, the man has had 3 back surgeries, you know, and that
I can't believe he's still playing at all.
That's the thing. And the point I made, you know, and I know fantasy owners for this year don't mind, but the point I made, Blewett, is like Rob Gronkowski is literally one of the handful of players in the NFL that can remain in the public eye and will still earn his money after he leaves the game. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need the NFL for his money. He doesn't need any more Super Bowls. He's already a Hall of Fame talent. Like, really, why is he going to subject himself to this again maybe next year? And, you know, you and me, we split a team, Blewett, and we were, like, agonizing over drafting Gronk in the 3rd round because we knew this exact thing was going to happen. We pulled the trigger and did it anyway, and now we're dealing like all other Gronk owners. Like, there's no, like, where do you think Gronk goes in draft next year if he is, in fact, in the NFL? Because, like, no one's spending a 4th-round pick on him, right? He's below Ertz and Kelsey, maybe even George Kittle. You know, like, it'd be very interesting to see what Gronk's ADP is next year. Because who's going to take the risk on this? The fall of Rome is nigh.
Yeah, so what I think is that you will very often see a guy like that will be – he'll be drafted higher than you would want him to be.
All it takes
like
is
like a 5th round kind of thing, because somebody's going to go up and just snag him. You know what I mean? So
won't be me.
From that standpoint, it wouldn't be me either. It was very rarely me. I went a little contrarian this year, as did you, and we got smoked.
It's the first time I've ever owned him.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I did. It had to be at least 5 years. But I would suspect, and obviously I don't have any inside information, I would suspect that this is the end of it. He doesn't really want to play with anybody else other than Brady. It's why he really rejected that trade.
The trade to Detroit.
And I think, I think other people got involved in order to keep him in New England. I think the irony of all of it, I heard Colin Cowherd say this like a month ago, Belichick was right. He knew it. He knew it.
The Patriots are always, and they do this a year ahead of time. They always do this. They do this 1 year early instead of 1 year late. They've done it all the time. Yeah. They want it like Belichick. That's why the Jimmy Garoppolo thing was there, because he was ready to do it even to Tom Brady.
Yes, and there's a couple of things that, the Garoppolo thing may very well work out for the Niners long term, and people will say Bill was right again. And now, I'm not saying everything that they touch turns to gold. There's been plenty of guys that have come in there and haven't really done anything, Chad Johnson and more. And they did get rid of Chandler Jones, who's still been a very productive player. But they got out on Jamie Collins, who you don't hear his name as an elite linebacker anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't.
Nate Solder.
Nate Solder was a layup for them. They were never going to spend a dime on it, and he's been bad with the Giants. So Belichick was right on that. I don't think Gronk will come back next year if you had to have me guess, but it's just a guess. You know, I think the guy's been laboring for the last couple of years. He wasn't there on the field the last time they won a Super Bowl. He was laboring at the end of last year. I think we all saw it. And this year, like even from Jump Street, Dane, he hasn't been the same. Like, he's just not the same guy. And I think
the man
he
has
labors.
Had multiple back surgeries. I mean, come
he
on.
Had forearm surgeries, back surgeries. You get into multiple back surgery territory, your life's going to be pretty hard later on. Like it just will be. Even
and he has an amazing life ahead of him. He really does.
I would love to at some point have Virginia or Dr. A on, or even next week when you have him on, just be like, you know, what does the prognosis for somebody look like after they've had multiple back surgeries? You know, look at Steve Kerr. And all the stuff that he deals with as a coach at the Warriors, the guy basically missed most of the part of an entire season and was missing playoff games at one point because his back situation is so bad, because he had back surgery that went south. So enough of that. I think you and I need to get a little bit of debate going, because we – have a defense decision. We don't often talk about defenses. So Dane and I are in this competitive league where transactions are going to be shut off. at the end of the week. No transactions during the playoffs. So you have to angle yourself to getting backups in a variety of ways. So there's a backup QB. Who's our backup QB, by the way? Case Keenum?
Our backup QB is Case Keenum because he's got a great schedule.
Yeah. And we got Matty Ice, so we're okay with that. You did we get a backup kicker? I think
we did.
We got Vinatieri, and we also have Mason Crosby.
Yep.
So it is deeper league. It is 20 roster spots, 18 roster spots, excuse me. That's why I got it confused, by the way. Part of the reason why I got that other thing confused, because one the exact same platform, almost the exact same rules. One roster is 18, one roster is 20. So I got it mixed up a couple of weeks back. Anyway, we got a defense decision to make, and you like the Denver Broncos going up against the Bengals and Jeff Driscoll. And I like the Rams going up against Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
What say you? What is your reasoning,
Dave? My reasoning, for the most part, I mean, we could get into the details of it, but my reasoning for the most part is Matthew Stafford greater than sign Jeff Driscoll. And so I think that, you know, the turnovers are more likely there. And I just, you know, the Detroit Lions seem also like a team that realizes that they may want to run the ball, you know, a la what we saw in Dallas, you know, and that may be helpful for the points against, but that may not be helpful for the kind of turnovers, especially if there's LeGarrette Blount. I think on the other side, I just don't believe in Jeff Driscoll. I don't think A.J. Green is going to be 100%. I think there's more sacks and turnovers, and I like the pass rush of, you know, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb coming up against Jeff Driscoll, as opposed to the professional quarterback play that is Matthew Stafford. That's my that's my main principle.
So I disagree.
Okay.
On this principle. Huh. I think the Cincinnati is going to run the hell out of the ball.
Really?
And I think they're going to run and run some more. Driscoll is a guy that can run the ball, and I think they're going to keep it close to the vest here. I think they're going to try and run past the Broncos in the way that the Jets were able to. I think they're going to try and keep the ball out of the air.
So you think this is big Joe Mixon day?
Yeah, I think Joe Mixon's going to see the ball a lot.
Don't you think the Broncos know that? Won't they put 53 men in the box and be like, Jeff Driscoll, go beat us?
Conceivably, yeah, conceivably. I still think that I think even in that instance then, I think your play total is down. Mm. I understand the interest in going up against the rookie.
Driscoll.
Mixon has been effective this year. So I can't, as bad as the Bengals look right now, and they're on a nice slide. And by the way, I really need the Bengals to lose. I don't think the Broncos are a bad play at all. I just think that the Lions, we were just talking about this a couple of days ago.
It's true.
Matt Stafford's putting the ball up a lot. He's got 10 interceptions on the year right now, 17-10 interception ratio. I just think that there's a greater chance of Stafford, whose offensive line, too, is a disaster. They've got run over by the Bears and twice and the Vikings in the last month, and now they're going up against the Rams. I see sacks and turnovers at a greater rate for the Rams against the Lions, even if they give up more points. Who cares?
Right.
I think the Rams scored 25 points as a DST against the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, I'm not concerned about giving up points. I'm all about the sacks and the turnovers. And you know what?
They gave up 45 points and scored 25 points as a DST.
Well, they scored defensive touchdowns in that one. Yes. And you know what, though?
It's the best offense in the league.
You're moving me, Blewett. You're moving me because here's the other thing. I expect the Rams to be up, right? A little bit better than I think the Broncos can kind of get up and create that working margin that forces the other team to throw and proverbially lets those guys pin their ears back, right? I think there's a better chance that in the second half, Ndamukong Suh, Fowler, and, you know, Donald will be able to quote-unquote pin their ears back to maybe generate sacks and turnovers more than what could be a tighter game with Denver and Cincy. You have compelled me, sir. We'll start.
So, 10 interceptions on the year for Matt Stafford. 11 interceptions on the year for Andy Dalton, but Jeff Driscoll hasn't really thrown the ball that much. So as far as sacks are concerned, the Bengals have allowed 22 sacks to the two quarterbacks, and the Lions have allowed 32 sacks to Matt Stafford. So
We'll start.
I think it's close, and if I'm wrong, don't kill me. But I think we go with the Rams over the Broncos. I do like the Broncos though as a pickup,
right?
Because people sold out that defense, and I think
and look at their schedule. Look at their schedule for the playoffs.
That's right, miles to go before we sleep on that. I do think that there's something there. Yeah, let me take a look at that Broncos.
You bring up their schedule in one league. What I had to do. Mike, in one league, I actually, and this is going to sound crazy on its face, but in one league, I dropped the Baltimore Ravens defense
Up
the Denver Broncos defense. When you look,
so it's at Cincinnati this week with Jeff Driscoll. Yep. Then you're at the Niners with Nick Mullins. Well, then you have the Browns playing better, but Baker's not afraid of a turnover in his rookie season, and then at Oakland. So that's the way That's the way it finishes off. It's three.
Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens defense is at Atlanta, at Kansas City, home for Tampa, and at the Chargers.
Jeez.
It's time to hop off the Ravens defense.
Four teams to throw a million times. So there you go. I think this is the point. You probably should have already done this, but this is certainly the point where you start to angle for things like this and take a look at. Well, who is going to have better matchups? You can't predict it week by week. We understand that. But on the whole, as Dane just said, I'm dropping the Ravens defense because the Broncos is a better look here from here on out. It's three road games, but they're playing three quarterbacks two of whom aren't starters, one of whom I think is horribly overrated, although I can't even call Carr overrated anymore because I think people are on board.
Right, that he's accurately rated. That rating is just lower.
People have appropriately lowered how good they think Derek Carr is. I was never on board with that. So, in any event,
and if you're a good team,
literally Baker is the best quarterback they're going to play.
Exactly. And if you're a good team, right? If you have a bye locked up, and you don't actually need to worry about this week or week 14, go look right now on your website, sort the defenses by best projection really for week 15, right? Or those matchups, pick them up this week, get ahead of it. And then you know what? Do the same thing for week 16 and do it. Drop your fifth wide receiver, drop your fifth running back and get the best matchup for week 15 and the best matchup available for week 16 if you're in a bye. You need that much better than you need your wideout five right now.
Yeah, I think you pick up a second defense and you pick up a second quarterback now if it's somebody legitimate. If you're going after Mullins or Josh McCown or somebody along those lines, you know, maybe not. But you got to roll. You're going to need to roll somebody out there, and you might find yourself in a position where people are strategizing and scoop up the best two available quarterbacks in front of you. You know what I mean?
You got to do it now.
So do it now. Get yourself set up for the playoffs. Dane and I'll come back. We'll do a couple of highlight games. We'll do our picks for the week, and we might have a special guest. It's Mike and Dane on FST on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're doing this.
Yeah, buddy.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I got a couple of special guests that are going to sit on my lap here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And this isn't an HR concern, is it?
Yeah, they can't hear. No, no. Okay. You'll hear why in a second. So I got a couple of special guests that are going to talk right into the microphone, right? You're going to talk right into this microphone where Daddy is. So, Owen, you want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi, Owen.
Hi.
Yeah,
hey.
That's Carson.
What up,
that's
Carson?
Owen and Carson. And yesterday, I'm doing this as a special segment because it was somebody's birthday yesterday. Whose birthday was it?
Mine. I turned six.
You turned 6 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and what shirt are you wearing this morning?
Steelers shirt.
Yeah, well, are you a Pittsburgh Steelers fan now?
Yeah.
That's right, buddy. All right, so we're going to do some picks right here, and you guys are going to help me with this. So the way we do this, guys, is we take a look at all of these games, and Dane and Daddy try to figure out exactly what it is, who we think is going to win these games. So I'm going to let Dane start, and then I'm going to let you guys pick a game, okay? So go ahead, Dane.
Fair enough. My first one, and Owen and Carson, you need to be on this game as well. These are two teams heading in opposite directions. Andrew Luck has been hot. 3+ touchdowns for 7 games in a row. The Jaguars are unraveling, in my opinion. Jalen Ramsey is a legit questionable, and Cody Kessler is under center. I think the Colts continue to score. I like the Colts, as you know, getting hot. I have Andrew Luck and Eric Ebron as a DFS stack, so I'm all in with Indianapolis. Give me the Colts -5 at Jacksonville.
Okay, Dane likes the Colts to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's a game that I want you guys to pick. So the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh.
Those big bad Panthers.
Kurtz was on this game.
They're going to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers aren't so good, but the Panthers are pretty good.
What leading questions. You're leading the witness, Mike.
I need to get an answer somehow, Dane. So who do you think got – I think the Big Bad Panthers are going to win?
Yeah.
Yeah? So say Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
All right, cool. So we got – that's
does
our first
does he like
pick.
Him straight up or with the points? Is he? Are they giving five?
We're going to let – I'm looking at mybookie.ag. I'm going to lay the four according to mybookie.ag. So,
yeah, you're right.
Good stuff. All right, so let's go to our second game, Dane Martinez.
Sure. We just talked about these defense. I wanted to start the Denver Broncos defense, and I gave you all the reasons why I'm fading Jeff Driscoll. I think the Denver Broncos are better than people think. They played the Chiefs close. They played the Rams close. In 3 straight games, they played winning streak teams, and they beat the Chargers. They beat the Steelers. They should have beat the Texans, but missed the last second field goal. I like Denver. I like them -4 at Cincinnati.
I'm showing -5 on.
Oh, my bad,
bookie,
my bad.
Which has me concerned because I don't like that zone. I don't like it being in the five zone. So, the Rams.
Yeah, you're right. It's
10,
at 5.
Laying 10 there. The Packers laying 14. That's way too many. However, the problem is the Cardinals get involved in some of these low-scoring games, which I don't like. But that over looks pretty interesting to me. You got the Chiefs and the Raiders, but that's 15.5, guys, on the road. I don't think we can lay that.
Division.
I got the Titans laying 9, 40.5 on that. Jeez,
what are we doing? Huh?
These are, I'm looking more at the total than anything else. How about it? So, all right, so do you guys think that the Packers and the Cardinals are going to score a lot of points this week? Say it. You can't nod on the radio. Say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think the Packers are going to win, or you think they're going to lose?
I think they're going
to lose. Okay. All right. He thinks they're going to lose. So, Dane, I'm going to take the over on the Packers and the Cardinals. He likes an upset. But even more.
Over 44?
I have 43.5 right here, but we can use whatever number you have. It's close enough. I would
prefer my bookie,
that.
I have 44.
I didn't refresh, so
I'll give you the 43.5. I'll be benevolent
to you. Thank
you,
buddy. I appreciate it. So let's do your last one.
Sure. And listen, Owen and Carson, I think you're going to like this one. I think they're going to like this one. I'm going to Sunday Night Football, and I think points will be scored in Pittsburgh, my friend. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I think the Steelers are riding high. I like their offense these days. I know they lost last week, but I like their offense. And I like the Chargers offense as well. I'm not scared, Mike, that there's no Melvin Gordon. You and I both like Austin Eckler. No, he's not Melvin Gordon, but he can still be a fit in that offense. I think both of these teams can score, and the over-under to me at 52 is a little low. I expected this to be in the high 50s. Give me the Chargers and the Steelers, Owen and Carson on Sunday night. Cheer for touchdowns, boys.
All right. He thinks a lot of points will be scored in that game. Let's see. Let me get my last pick here. And one more. Before we do this, guys, I'm going to send you upstairs after I say this. But why are you here? What is this a special treat for? How old did you turn yesterday?
6.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Owen.
He says happy birthday. So what do you say?
Thanks.
So where is your party going to be at tomorrow?
Bounce U.
What do you get to do at Bounce U?
Bounce all over the place.
Yeah.
Can I come?
Bouncy houses. Can Dane come? Dane can come, right? He's a big guy. So maybe we'll have
cool.
Maybe
thanks,
we'll get in there for bagels and donuts.
If I get banged out of this poker tournament I'm playing tomorrow, if I get banged out early, I'll come on over to Bounce U.
Sounds good. Cool, guys. All right. Well, thank you for helping me with the picks. Let's go upstairs and get ready for school. So happy birthday to Owen. Carson, say happy birthday to him.
It's also very and it's also very early in the morning.
Yeah, so it's early in the morning.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy
That's
birthday
tough.
To Owen. Thanks, guys. You go up and get ready for school. Thank you for helping me with the picks. I'll do my last one, and thank you for that. Okay, let's go upstairs to school, buddy. Thank you. So sorry, just having a little fun with it. It's my son's birthday.
It's all good, baby. That's the way it is. It's a family affair here on FST.
So, yeah, and I would have been just him, but
you can't do that.
Understands
yeah,
the family dynamic. I can't,
yeah, that ain't
can't have one come down and not the other
sure.
and have a minute freak out. So yeah. To those of you that don't know, some of us have home studios, and we get to do the shows from the comfort of our own home at times.
Listen, I don't have kids, and I even know you can't have one and not the other. That'd be a recipe
That's
for
right.
disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, so my what did I pick? I got the Panthers minus -4.
You got the
I got
Panthers,
the Cardinals.
And you got over in Lambeau, yeah.
Yeah, so the last one, gosh. Every week it's a struggle. I got to be done with the Titans. I haven't bet with the Steelers, I think, the whole year. They got to win this game, dude.
Yes.
They have to.
Yes, they do.
But they're playing the Chargers.
Who are a good team.
They're a good football team. And none of this 1 o'clock, none of this 1 p.m. nonsense. It's
That's true.
Middle of the afternoon for them, West Coast time.
That's right.
They're probably in a
their
better shape than the Steelers.
Their body clock is ready to go. Yeah.
Their body clock's in better shape than the Steelers.
I don't know. Why are you touching this game, Blewett?
I shouldn't.
I mean, I'm on that total, but, you know, hey.
You know what's an interesting game? You know, like all jokes aside, whether we
sure.
whether I pick this game or not, it'd be interesting to see how the Browns play against the Texans this week, because the Texans got to run out of steam at some point, right?
Yeah,
you would think.
You would think. You would think. I don't know though. If the Browns. Listen,
I hate that number.
And are the Browns good enough? Are the Browns good enough to like go on the road and beat a good team? If this was
no,
in Cleveland, maybe I'd give it to you. You know,
by
but
the way,
I don't think they're
yeah.
ready to go on the road and do that.
If this was 4.5, I'd bang out the Texans right now. But the 5.5 just has me scared. They've won even during this streak. The Texans have won some close games.
True.
You know, it's overtime games and just
yeah.
sweat it
Missed
out.
Field goal with Denver.
Yeah, exactly. Sweat it out a bunch of these games. So 5.5, you're basically saying they're a touchdown better. They might be a touchdown better, but I for me to rely on that is a hard one.
Our boy George Kurtz went with your boys, the Atlanta Falcons, -1.5 versus Lamar.
I kind of like that, but after they lost last week and went to 4-7, I think kind of all bets are off with the Falcons. So, all right. You know how we talk about let's bet on good teams, bet against bad teams?
Yeah.
I gave the Giants a puncher's chance. No,
oh,
no, no, no.
Okay. I thought
I gave
you were
the Giants
15.5.
No. I mean, I think they're going to cover.
I do too, but I ain't touching that one. I do too,
silly.
But I'm not touching it.
Silly to do that in an NFL game.
Right.
Bears, you know what?
No Trubisky, it looks like.
Now you got me saying just screw it and just betting the Chiefs.
Oh, wow.
I kind of want to do that.
I like the Lions. I mean, the Rams also to dump truck the Lions in Detroit. But
all right. Good teams, bad teams. I'm laying it all. 15.5.
Yes! Yes!
Terrible. the Chase Daniel thing just has me too nervous. I actually think the Bears could roll the Giants even with Chase Daniel. But to your point, like it just could be a tight game and a game that you don't expect it to be. But realistically, the Bears, with that pass rush and the struggles that the Giants have had, they should be able to take care of that no problem.
So you're taking the Bears or the Chiefs? Which one is the official pick?
I think the people want me to take the Chiefs.
Oh, I certainly do.
She's going to lose.
No, I think it's going to be great. I think you're right. I think they win this game 30-6. But I'm just not touching 15.5.
All right, I'm doing it. Chiefs. So that's it,
Bold,
folks.
My friend.
Thanks for indulging me with my kids.
Happy birthday, Owen.
Friday. And good luck this week. hit us up on Twitter with any questions at Spittin' Speeds at Mike Blewett. Talk to you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.